The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 595. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, we have returned. You may have noticed someone is missing. Manny's actually watching a superhero movie tonight, and it's not Spider-Man, people. It's actually a screening for The Rocketeer. I think it's like the 30th anniversary or something. Is it 30th or 40th? Somebody check that. Yo, every anniversary gets longer and longer now, you know? But he's checking out The Rocketeer, so you'll not be joining us. Brian, we don't know where Brian is, you know? And Adam, who knows? He's probably at the TV terminal again. So, yeah, we got us, and it was, I'm going to say interesting weekend gaming, but no megatons, really, you know, so we'll see what happens. What's going on? So, hold on, real quick, shout out to the chat crew here joining us across YouTube and Twitch. Got C. Iverson in the house, my oldest nephew, by the way, people. Shout out to him. My man, you know, the greatest jujitsu fucking fighter of all time. My man's showing me some of his competition and shit. You know, preparing, good stuff. Got Barry Burton, as always, holding it down, making sure motherfuckers, you know, behave. Your boy, Carlos, and our boy, Fergus Mills.
Yo, man, shout out to Fergus Mills.
You know? And shout out to Liquid Fragment. And just joining us right now, Mr. Otaku Mans. You know? Good stuff, man. So, yeah, shout out to everybody watching us live on this lovely July night.
By the way,
yeah,
it's only been 35 years since The Rocketeer released, not 40 or not 30.
So just had to be sure.
In between.
You got to be sure. You know, I was like, I know it's one of these motherfuckers, you know? Because, like, for example, they have the, and you may need to check this one for me too, Carlos. I believe it's the 40th anniversary. The
Transformers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely 40.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
86 until now.
Yeah. What's funny about that, Chris, and I'm pretty sure you could vouch too, I literally go see this movie every 5 years. Every anniversary, 30th anniversary, 35th, they always replay it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Riku was asking me, yo, man, you got to go see it? I'm like, what kind of question is that, bro?
Of course.
You know I'm going to be there. You know I'm going to be there. All right, man, good stuff. So yeah, let's get into it, man. Xbox did have a good week. The biggest one, obviously, Xbox Live or whatever, the online, was down for 20 hours. People could play shit. Snoop Dogg was probably mad as hell, you know, like that old video. And I heard in some cases you couldn't even play your disc games because you couldn't check in with the licenses and all that. And even Xbox were like, oh, that should not have happened. So here's what Xbox's CTO had to say about this. The fuck is a CTO?
I don't know. Chief Technical Officer.
CTEC. Thank you, Chris. Late last night, a licensing service that sits outside of Xbox, but which Xbox depends on, began failing. This caused some sign-in scenarios to fail, and it caused many scenarios that require an entitlement check to also fail, such as listing out your full library and launching games that you own. It also affected several of our publishing and store partners who depend on those same systems, which is why some of you saw issues in specific games and not others. Ooh, that doesn't sound good. Yeah, go ahead, Chris. Break it down, bro.
Well, the breakdown was on their part, but and I think Carlos will back me up here. Why is such an important server and service running off-site? Like, what? Why would you do that? Where was this being hosted? Like, if it's not in your, if it's not racked by you, if it's not part of Azure, which it's like you'd think it would be, why would you keep such a key system like running on a server somewhere else and then just forget about it? And then it breaks down and then just takes down all of Xbox Live with it. That doesn't make any sense. Like, how did nobody know this was there?
Yeah.
Did you take it for granted? Like, I understand it might be some legacy shit they had, but honestly, like, you know it's there. It's connected to your systems. You have IT people, whatever. You're checking stuff all the time, and you know your service level and whatever. Somebody would, you tell me nobody saw this straggling machine sitting, I don't know, somewhere in like a Quest thing in southern New Jersey. And it's like, oh, you know, we should fucking do something about that box. It's like running on a Dell from 1998. Maybe we should take it out.
Hey, that Dell is more secure than anything known to man.
Okay.
So I got to ask a question. It's going to come across a little bit like whataboutism. I promise it's not. Like, didn't Sony just have an outage too? Is there any relation between them? It seems a little odd that, you know, two big services are having issues. Is this like an attack on some undermining data system or something? What's going on?
With PlayStation, it was attributed to AWS. A bunch of shit went down. But this seems like it's something specific with Xbox. But the timing is very interesting. But yeah, no, the PlayStation was attributed to AWS going down, and everything went down. Even my organization had some issues that morning as well. But
you mentioned it was outside of Xbox, and it makes me wonder, like, if they just, somebody found a vulnerability in something that was outside of Xbox and is normally insulated. Like, it makes me wonder if this is if there have been some coordinated attacks recently that we're not necessarily hearing about, or some vulnerabilities, or even just some fucking AI shit. I don't know. Like, this seems like coincidence, and I don't really believe in those.
Yeah, fair enough. But, you know, again, the Sony was attributed to AWS. I don't know if this one was.
I'm curious what this, if this has any connection, not like a one-to-one, but like, is there similarity in the architecture here kind of thing? Like, I don't think there's a grand conspiracy. I just wonder if I wonder if the same kind of vulnerabilities have been exploited or something.
No, I don't think that's the case here. If what the CTO is saying is to be believed, right? If you believe them, then they have a licensing server running somewhere else, not on Azure's platform, and not hosted by them, but somehow this key piece of hardware was just left sitting somewhere, I guess, unmaintained until it's now breaking down, which is what he seems to be saying, which I find odd, because what you were saying with PlayStation is an AWS failure. So AWS went down. When AWS goes down, whatever key, this, like, Uber will go down, DoorDash will go down. Like, there's a whole bunch of services connected to AWS, so it takes down a bunch of stuff with it. Same thing if Azure went down. There's a whole bunch of businesses that rely on it. So I don't know if it's the same thing. I don't know if, like, Sam Altman is seeing, like, what GPT-6 can poke. Like, fuck Microsoft, you know. He sticks it. He lets it out of the sandbox. He, like, opens the gate a little bit, like Deep Blue Sea. Like, God, to kill him.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, we're crazy. Like, okay, so here's, I guess, my next bit would be like, okay, so if this is something that exists outside of Xbox's normal framework and architecture, it's a service being provided by a third party. What other services are provided by this third party, and were they also affected, or was this a directed or systemic thing, or was this just literally decaying infrastructure under Microsoft boots? Like, I'd be very curious about, like, whether this is them just being like, oh, no, there's something went wrong. Like, whether that's a thing to save face or whether it's actually just the internet rotting away.
Yeah.
The way this reads is like it's trying to save face, because think about the scenarios you put out. Either Microsoft admits that they had some kind of crazy zero-day failure that took down Xbox, like, for 20 hours, right? Or they spin a yarn about this unsung licensing server that hasn't been rebooted in 25 years just failed. Oops, we forgot about it. So it just, like, which L do you want to take? They'll take the IT failure L over and admitting that they got attacked. I don't know if it's an attack either. We won't know. He's not going to tell us. You know,
Right now, I know it's, you know, tempting to just say the two things are disconnected, but I don't think they are in this case. I could be wrong, but it doesn't seem like it.
It's not that I'm jumping at shadows. It's that when somebody comes to me and they said, oh, there was a technical hiccup, our server was just old as dirt, I go, uh-huh, okay, and what's the real thing that happened that's way more embarrassing than that?
Yeah, but again, I just don't think... Theory. Oh, go ahead, Carlos, go ahead, bro.
So I think this is... And like Chris, I'm just going by what the CTO said. I think this is probably a legacy program, like Chris mentioned, like an authenticating program that releases like tokens in order to authenticate and use their APIs. And they had this probably in an on-premises server where there's that. For some reason, they probably couldn't move this to the cloud whenever they made that transition. So it just stayed there. It's like, oh, well, it works there, but we can't move it. And maybe it's a third-party vendor. I don't know. But I think that's what it was. It was maybe like an on-premises service that server went down. Because that would also explain the longevity of it, because when you're in an on-premises server, it's a physical location. And if that place, something is wrong with that place, like a power outage or a fire or something, that will prolong that outage. If it's AWS or Azure or anything like that, a cloud service, then it's much more easier to bring it back up. But that's my theory. It is tinfoil hat, but it's based on what the CTO says. To me, it makes sense.
If I had to guess, I put a lot of stock in what you're saying, Carlos, but you guys know how like there's huge chunks of major software used in big corporations that are standing precariously on the leg of a patch some open source homebrew guy did in his basement in 1995. I think this may be that... something that looks like a Far Side comic, which shows the Jenga tower of this shit. And I'm guessing there's some legacy program somebody released like a decade ago, and it just rotted out from under their feet. But I don't necessarily think it's a coordinated attack. I think that it's just them showing like the lack of maintenance in the infrastructure. That's probably pretty embarrassing, though. And I think they're just being like, oh, this thing that was totally not ours and totally not our fault and totally outside of our environment, it just... whoopsie doodled, and that's totally not on us, and that has nothing to do with the fact that we've been running on, you know, duct tape and bubble gum for 15 years while we try and develop predatory surveillance shit as our main priority. Boom, boom.
I like Carlos's theory. My only concern with that is if it's the case they weren't able to move this licensing server. How did they get Xbox Live back up? Even in 20 hours, which seems long, right? To everyone else, like you can't get on the service. But if this thing was so it's so legacy, you can't move it, right? Then what did they spin up an image somewhere? Like how did they get this thing even back up? Or did they go to Steve Ballmer's house and plug it back in? Like, oh shit, every 5 years. God damn it.
This guy an extension cable to Steve Ballmer's house.
You know?
No, well.
I like to think that they release like one grizzled guy to the wilderness who does like a traipse into an epic journey just to flip a switch at the end of like a rainforest or something.
No, I mean it could have been just a local power outage that, you know, maybe there was a storm that went by where that server is located and it went down for 20 hours and the power went back up and not working. Or it could be, I don't know. It's a good question, because 20 hours is a hell of a long time to be down for.
Again,
what even then? There's no redundancy. There's just what.
If you're taking that, you know, and what Carlos says makes sense. There is no redundancy for that. If you were relying on this machine and it's basically forgotten about, it just works, and then it doesn't work. Yeah you're like, oh shit, you got to go figure out what the hell happened.
That is wild. I want to read this other thing the guy said. We're running, you know, it might give you guys some more context for this stuff. We're running a full post-incident review. I care less about the one-line root cause and more about the real questions. Why a failure in one service was able to take down this much, why recovery took as long as it did, and what we can change so a single point of failure can't ruin your night again. That means hardening the dependencies underneath sign-in and game launch, improving how we detect and contain this class of failure, and being faster and clearer with you when something breaks. What do you guys make of that?
Hold up. I'm Say that again?
I'm not reading all that shit again, bro.
This is the last part. They said that they needed to do better because that implies that was the things that went wrong this time. And if one of them is a sign in, sign out, that sounds like a security thing.
Yeah. But, you know, they have, by the way, they have been trying to, not in these words, but they said we fucked up. They said that.
Yeah, I think it's more transparency and accountability he's talking about, not security, in that statement.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know enough about the minutiae to talk about security at that level, but I guess it just sounds like stupidity and technical issues. They turned it off and turned it back on.
Well, I mean, I'll give him credit that he put out that kind of statement. I mean, it wasn't just, we're sorry it broke. It wasn't Sony who just turns it back on and just goes, there you go, peasants.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, Sony doesn't even say shit. Like, if Nintendo or Sony have a failure, they don't say nothing. It just comes back on when it comes back on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's still more than what Sony gave you. I know it's not what about it, but hey, that's a whole other story. Don't worry, guys. We'll get to Sony later, you know?
This statement, the second statement, doesn't really clear anything up. It's more of just like, yeah, we messed up. We'll try to see how to better improve this failure.
It's the single point of failure part that sticks out to me. Like, why is there a single point? Like, where's the redundancies here? You know,
here's the thing. And you know, for those that don't know code, it's a black box. But when you look at systems, legacy systems that have been up for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, like, you'd be surprised just how many different things a piece of code utilizes or a system utilizes. It can use 10 different programs or 10 different vendors that have different programs that do specific things that you're trying to do. And one of them could just go out of date or end date and be sunset. And you're like, oh shit, I didn't take this into account. This is a program that I utilize to do X for my system. And it just went offline or it just stopped working or it didn't work with these new variables. And yeah, that, It's the Wild West, man. There's just a whole lot of things that are taken into the systems. And yeah, once the older it gets, you know, people just get used to them and take them for granted, I guess. And it just stops working.
Now, I like that idea of, you know, Steve Ballmer tripped over a switch or something. Just fucked everything up. Oh, man.
Like, Steve, what did you write this in? I wrote it in Pascal. Shit. Nobody knows Pascal.
Oh, man. All right. Let's move on here. More Xbox. So Microsoft financials came out, our favorite. But, you know, some people have parsed out the Xbox part, which Microsoft always likes to bury. Things ain't looking good, people. Basically, Xbox had its, again, we say this every quarter. Xbox has had its worst quarter ever. Again. Total gaming revenue was down 10% year over year. Content and services were down 10%. Hardware revenue dropped 13%. And Asha Sharma, you know, tweeted out like, yeah, this ain't good. We got to do better. Shit. Chris, what do you make of these numbers, man?
Well, they're terrible. I mean, considering they've been stacking losses, like, so whenever I get a peek at them, and usually when I try to peek in the financials, I think the last time I gave up because Microsoft buries the shit. It's like, oh, on page 34 in the corner, here's Xbox.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, every time I look at it, it's like, we're down 8% year over year. Hardware's down 15%, 12%. It just keeps falling. So this is just compounded on every other loss they've had, revenue loss, it's Xbox Live. I'm guessing that Game Pass people are bailing because content and services are down 10%. That's got to be part Game Pass. And yeah, the hardware, of course, who's buying the hardware? And you jacked up the price. So of course it's going to drop. That's one of the highest percentage year-over-year drops we've ever seen. So I don't know how you write that ship, but good luck. Besides making some stellar fucking content to make people come back, I don't know how you'd fix this.
Yeah. So I want to read her tweet real quick. It's a short one. In fiscal year 26, over 200 million new players came to Xbox and our games, but our business did not grow with our audience. We need to close that gap by investing in what players value. That will take time, but we expect to return to growth by the end of fiscal year 2027. So, Chris, I made this as a joke, but I'm also serious. I put that shit in the accountability room on Throwdown. Let's see if Shashi manages to do this in a year. You know,
yeah, you're her accountability buddy.
That's it.
I mean, it's a tall. Also, she said 200 million new players. So yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, is this just spread across like PC? And
that's what I think.
Guys, Band Legion goes and stuff like, or what was the the RG Ally? That's right.
Yeah.
Is that which everything like my toasters and Xbox, does that count as a player? Like,
yeah, I thought they got rid of that initiative, and suddenly the only way you could get 200 million players is if everything was an Xbox, you know?
Including mobile phones.
Including that too.
As opposed to immobile phones, you know?
That number does not compute with like what else you're telling us. Like if you had two million new players, 200 million, yeah. If you had 200 million new players, right, these new people, the spend, you didn't even have a 10% spend at that high number, like software, nothing, Game Pass signups. What did they just browse and go, nah, I'll pass? Like, how? Okay, so putting that number aside, she's got a hell of a job ahead of her. I don't even know what you do. And considering how much shit Phil Spencer canned before he left, and do you have anything in the pipeline? How much layoffs was just at the beginning of this month? And those layoffs are going to kind of cascade through next year, the next year. So what do you have left? What projects do you have in the pipeline to start engaging with people? Like, that's what they want. You can't, it's not going to be Project Helix. You can't put out another piece of hardware. Nobody's going to buy, they can't even afford the current piece of hardware you have. So what are you going to bring to the table? It can't be another live service. It can't be another service. It can't be just marketing speak. And it can't be, you know, like, we're going to be more transparent. But okay, start with telling us what the hell you're working on. How about that?
Yeah. Real quick, Echo Crimson. So your last message says as a joke, but the your previous comment, I don't know if it is a joke, but I'm going to read it. I'm going to assume it's not a joke. Accountability, could they sell their overpriced consoles at a loss with a cheaper price and leaving a physical disc? If you read the report, they already are selling them at a loss. They're selling each console at like $150 loss. So it's already happening, you know? Expect another price hike. I'll tell you that right now. I don't know, man.
The answer to your question is no. It wouldn't be enough.
No, it wouldn't. Yeah, no, it wouldn't. So
yeah, I don't envy Asha Sharma's job and what she has to do in order to get to the point where they're profitable. Well, I mean, I do see a pathway. I mean, they're just firing as many people and releasing as many studios as they can. And we still, and Chris mentioned, you know, that we've gotten this month a lot of firings. We still got another chunk, the other half.
That's right.
I think that still needs to happen. So that is going to be a boatload of the reasons why Xbox becomes profitable. And then the games
agreed on that list.
Well, I mean, they just released the game, so we'll see.
Yeah, that's why they deserve to be fired.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens. You know, you release a game and then. Even if it's successful, you know, you still get the team.
Oh, it's not going to be. And like, I just want to say for the record, like when the axe comes down on that, that's them getting fired, not laid off. Let's not pretty it up.
But I mean, it sucks. It's really bad. And one thing I will say, that Microsoft this whole year has been going through a rut. Their stock has been down bad this year.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, their earnings came this year, yesterday or today? Last night. They came up last night, and today their stock is up 14%, which is crazy. Xbox had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, that's nothing. How
significant they are to the company.
It's crazy. I saw this other report. I don't know if it's true or not, but it sounds right, that apparently Xbox, you know, hardware at least, has never been profitable for Microsoft. It's always had to be subsidized by the, you know, larger entity of Microsoft, which is crazy, you know. Hardware, you know, or other services probably were profitable. But like I always said, Xbox has always been a side hustle for Microsoft. It is not an integral thing. They could literally cut that. I wouldn't even see a limb. They could just cut that vestigial tail off, and the company would just keep on rolling, you know? Unlike,
yeah, we would have said the same about Sony at one point.
But you can't say that about Sony now. You cut out PlayStation from Sony. Sony's dead, because that's the only thing that's keeping them up.
If it was once upon a time, that wasn't the case, and we would have said, "Oh, Sony doesn't need the PlayStation to survive. They make everything from TVs to boomboxes to washing machines."
Yeah. Not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. But that's my point. It's like Microsoft has never needed Xbox to survive, it's a different thing. Hold on, you know,
let's get it. You assume Windows is going to be a profitability engine forever by those
metrics. I didn't say that.
Okay, that's my whole point, man.
Yeah, so we're arguing two different things then. I'm talking about the current thing, and you're talking about hypotheticals.
I'm saying that while you think that Xbox is disposable, I'm saying for long-term plans, I don't think it's as disposable as you think that it is, especially because their main product isn't as secure as you might hope.
Well, so no,
diversifying is probably Windows a good idea.
Windows isn't their main product. Azure is. Azure Enterprise.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's their main product. Azure and licensing and support, it's their main product. It's the revenue generator, not Windows, not Office. Although they're up there, it's Azure. And Tony's right. They could cut Xbox off tomorrow. They could just be like, fuck this.
They won't
Those same measurements, in 10 years, I don't know that Xbox might not be one of the biggest things they have left. That's just, you know, saying, like, that goes back to the Sony comment. Like, never thought that would happen with Sony, but here we are, so.
I see what you're saying, but I'm not talking about the hypothetical. I'm just talking about right now. You know, I'm not talking about what could have been or what would be. Because you're right. Maybe Xbox is the most profitable thing in 10 years. Who knows? But that's a whole other conversation.
It is superfluous right now. Well, I think I'm kind of arguing the idea of it being superfluous. Like, it is unnecessary right now. But I don't know if I were Microsoft, if I would not be counting it as important, I guess, would be the distinction I'm making.
Yeah. But I'm not saying they should cut it off. I'm just saying they could.
I wasn't arguing with you. I was putting a finer point on it.
Yeah. All right. So Xbox, again, let's see, you know, if the next quarter is the worst ever. Because again, every quarter is the worst one. It's crazy.
Are we going to all act surprised, shock Pikachu face like Microsoft is dying again when this next round of layoffs hit? Because I'm getting awfully exhausted of pretending that Microsoft is about to go out of business every what month?
We're not Xbox. We're talking about Xbox. Microsoft is perfectly fine.
Yeah. Yes, Xbox. My bad.
I don't know what else we can do. Right? It's just like, hey, another bad report. Well,
but here's the thing:
like, Xbox is like one story.
Xbox is dying. I mean, they're laying off or spinning off companies. It's like,
yeah, that's true.
You're removing parts of what makes you in order to survive. So if I eat my leg, I'm surviving, but then I'm missing half of my calf. So, you know, that who knows where they go from this, but it's not good. I mean, and going back to the whole what Microsoft does, I mean, yeah, like Chris mentioned, Azure is by far their biggest moneymaker. It's one of the biggest moneymakers in the history of humanity. So for Xbox to get there, I mean it's a non-0% chance, but I wouldn't even put it at a 1% chance, because they still have that. They have 365 Enterprise that generates a shit ton of, and even something like, you know what's crazy? A lot of people don't know this. LinkedIn makes more money, generates more revenue or more money than Xbox.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
I got a stupid question.
Why is it?
How does LinkedIn make money? I'm. This could be the dumbest question I've ever asked. I honestly don't know.
Ads?
We don't know.
It's probably ads, because it's pretty much a social media platform.
No, I know what LinkedIn is. I'm on it. I've used it, but I'm like, I'm looking at it. I'm like, I don't see. I've never seen ads on it.
I think there's licenses if you're hiring, if you're on the corporate side.
Yeah.
Then you pay into using them for recruiting. And then for people looking for work, there is a tier, like there's a paid tier of LinkedIn. So they might have a lot of
subscriptions. So you can be more visible.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
I'm sorry, Chris, did you say that there's a paid tier for people who are out of work?
Yes. I'm not joking, but there's a paid tier of LinkedIn.
I want to find whoever's idea that was.
Yeah, and that's the that's the reason why I mentioned it's like a social media platform, not just because I knew you guys knew what it was, but that's how social media platforms make their money.
$20 a month. That's what Fergus says, bro.
Oh my god.
Yeah, no, he's right. It's LinkedIn Premium. Yeah, that's it. LinkedIn Premium.
Oh man, there you go.
There's a lot more people looking for jobs in corporate America than there are Project Helix.
By the way,
people, y'all know that part of Blade Runner when he's talking to the giant hologram girl and she's like, "Are you lonely?" Like this, that's the level of dystopian I feel at that comment.
Oh man. Yeah. By the way, off topic, but. Yeah, it's absolutely off topic, because some of you have asked, you know, where do I get that from? The money. We were having a conversation off air last week, and I found out what it was. It's from episode one, you know, money tricks on at work. I'm the only money. So that's where that comes from. Only money. Fucking LinkedIn, bro. Fuck, $20 a month.
No, it's more than that.
Oh, it's more than that. Shit. Yo, Fergus, what's the upper tier, bro?
You on the essential package?
You know? No, but it is funny, though. You're on a subscription service if you don't have a job.
$29.99,
Fergus
says.
$29, goddamn! For broke a motherfuckers? Month?
Bro, that's like one of the more expensive fucking monthly subscription options. What the fuck?
Goddamn.
That used to be the price of Xbox
Ultimate. You know?
Game Pass.
See, tying it all back together. That's there crazy, man. Well, there you go. But yeah, we'll wait until next time to see Xbox's next worst report ever.
I mean, it's going to be in like a month when they do the second half of layoffs. I'm just kind of like, yes, we get it. They are. It's like Microsoft is falling down the stairs in slow motion. I'm not going to stop and marvel every time they hit a stair. I'm just going to come back and be like, are you alive? Yes or no?
Yeah. Not here. We're just saying, really Brett, but. You know, we gotta cover the news on this show, you know?
Oh, no, I totally get it. I'm just, my enthusiasm for Microsoft's potential to get out of this is disappearing with every step. It's just, it's kind of, I don't even want to say sad. It's pathetic at this point.
Hmm.
Pathetic.
Yeah. Sad, pathetic. I'm trying to combine the two words. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to try, like, I agree with the first round of layoffs and what Asha said. I do think that some blood needed to be spilled because otherwise that company was just going nowhere. But at the same time, like, look, it's going to take a while to turn that ship around and it's going to involve a lot of murder in the meanwhile. So, yeah, I'm not going to be surprised when, you know, she just starts just cutting off whole ass limbs in studios and it's going to happen again. It's all still part of the same big thing of, well, we'll see if like it's a bold move, right? Like this is like 127 hours. Do you cut your arm off and try and make it out of the wilderness, or you just lay here and starve, right? Like, just cutting the arm off. I'm not saying, like, that's going to save them, but I'm like, that's all you can do. We're just going to wait and see. So, there you go. I'm going to have the same reaction next time.
Yep. By the way, man, we're learning some shit about LinkedIn tonight, people. Recruiters for companies, they have their own tier, $169 a month.
Yeah, see, I know there was a recruiter side where they pay into it. Yep. That's part of the revenue stream. They get you on both sides.
Man.
That's fine. You can charge a company. Like, I give zero shits about that. It's just something different about being like, oh yeah, Bill has no money. Bill has an alimony payment coming on the 14th. Bill is now subscribing to the premium tier of the dystopian, terrified existential crisis of employment.
Yeah, Bill's got bills to pay.
Yep.
That's why sometimes if you have a LinkedIn, sometimes you get just random DMs from people trying to recruit.
Yeah, I get that all the time. Like, bro, I'm employed. I'm good. You know? All right, man. Let's move on here. I don't know whether this is good news or bad news, but take it as it is. Halo's on PS5, people. No longer a theory. It's real. It's on PS5. You can buy it right now. And apparently it's doing pretty well. You know, based on some report, I'm hearing conflicting things. Some people are saying it's doing well sales wise. Some of you are saying it's doing bad. I don't really know. I haven't looked at the numbers, but you can now play Halo on PlayStation 5, which is crazy to me. You know,
I hear it plays better on PS5 than it does on Xbox.
What happened, Brett?
I said I hear it plays better on PS5 than it does on Xbox.
Excuse me? Oh, yeah. Oh, go ahead, Carlos. What were you going to say?
Yeah. So I have a question for the group.
Uh-oh.
I haven't been keeping up with Halo Combat Evolved and, you know, what people are saying about it. But I checked the PlayStation Store, and it's $50.
Yeah.
And I'm like, $50 for a game that I've already played like 3 or 4 times? It's like, so oh, but you haven't. Guys know what's up?
It's remade in Unreal Engine 5.
It's different. It's not the same.
What have you guys been hearing about this game? Have you guys been?
Yeah, I haven't. Again, I was kind of depending on you guys. I haven't really heard much on my timeline's not really talking about it. I don't think they care.
I looked into it today, actually.
What happened?
I looked into it today, actually.
Okay, good.
I haven't played it, but I looked into it so I can give some somewhat reliable secondhand information. Yes. It is essentially, I think it's the first game, just remade through Unreal Engine 5, picking up a whole, picking up a whole new Katamari ball of bugs being in Unreal Engine 5, having major performance issues across both PlayStation 5 and Xbox, but especially Xbox and PC as well. It's also requiring you to sign in on Xbox's service, even if you are on like PC or whatever. So it's pulling that same bullshit that Sony had tried. And the only thing that is added, first of all, there's no multiplayer, because who wants to play Halo multiplayer? And the only thing that they have added are a few prequel missions, but they are, what I've heard is, it seems like they're embarrassed of them, because they buried them in submenus that you have to go digging for. And not only are the missions bolted on and somewhat just kind of inconsistent, but they absolutely shoot the cannon in the foot by giving you all the weapons and all the stories kind of up front loading them in what is a prequel. So it treats you like, you know, you've been a veteran of the series, but tells it in the prequel, which makes everything fucking feel kind of off, I guess. And also they're doing some weird millennial writing Marvel introduction and retconning shit, like the brutes being zealots who are just obsessive and fanatical. No, now they have a mind control device. It's no longer tyranny and fanaticism and religious fervor that makes them act completely insane. Now it is a mind control device. So just millennial writing 101. So all in all, it just sounds like a terrible, slow failure on every measurable aspect. But you know, you might like Halo, so cool. Remember Halo?
Yeah. Again, I've heard some of that stuff, Brett, and I've seen some images of, you know, how certain characters have been, quote unquote, updated for modern audiences, if you know what I mean. It's like, oh, here we go. I'll just play Master Chief Collection. I think I'll be good there, you know, if I want to go back to that. But my thing is, like, I already played the game with Carlos. I already had the best experience possible. You can't top that, you know?
There you go.
But yeah, I'm not interested in this, to be honest. But does anybody here plan to play this thing on the panel?
So I thought about it for a split second. Then I went to the PlayStation Store and I saw it was $50. Like, nah, I thought it would maybe like be 40. If it's like $40, then I would have thought about it harder. But at $50, I think I'll wait for it to get on.
Yeah, but yeah, there you go. So you could play Halo on PlayStation. And thank you for Carlos correcting C. Iverson there. Forza was the first big Xbox game to come to PlayStation. Like it was the first of the big three, because they had like Grounded and some other stuff before that. But yeah, Forza was the first. And I said at the time that was them, to quote Manny, dipping their toes. Like, oh, if we get away with Forza, we get away with the other ones, you know. And then you had Gears. And you knew it was going to be Halo next, even though motherfuckers were still denying it. No, Halo will never come. I'm like, you just had three legs, bro. You just had two of the three legs come. You don't think the third one's coming? You know, I want to see where these dudes are at now. You know, Halo, you will never see Halo on PlayStation. Halo's on PlayStation, bitch. Say something, you know?
Well, you know what they're doing right now? Like what everyone else is doing, moving the goalpost.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, but it's not this. Not the, blah, blah, blah. All right, bro. All right.
It's not the new Halo. It's not Infinite. And if it's not Infinite, it was like, oh, it's not the new one that doesn't one same day release.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking about PlayStation, so the PlayStation gamers are now planning a big boycott, PlayStation blackout, at the end of August. it's for the week of August 23rd, people. And it's being I don't want to say sponsored, but who knows? But there's that site we've talked about before, Does It Play? And they're the ones kind of putting all this together. And I noticed that a lot of the organizations, quote unquote, that are putting their hat into this all have they're all invested in selling you physical games. So obviously they would want to back this, you know. But I want to read their statement because I found their statement kind of funny. Not to be confused with Greg Miller's kind of funny. For several years now, Sony Interactive Entertainment has continued to grow further apart from its fan base. Whether it's closing beloved studios like Bluepoint, pursuing a misguided live service strategy, canceling fan events, leaving PSVR 2 to die, or being completely out of touch with the franchises players want to see return, PlayStation has never felt more disconnected from its community. Ending physical discs in 2028 feels like the last straw. We understand there is only so much Sony Interactive Entertainment can do, but with the decisions that are within its control, the company continues to mismanage the strong position it inherited, and then it goes on. I'm reading all this, and I'm like, get to the fucking point. What the hell does any of this shit have to do with PlayStation discs, you know? But here's the main part. With that, we are calling on PlayStation players to participate in an economic and gameplay blackout from Sunday, August 23rd at 7 p.m. local time through Sunday, August 30th at 7 p.m. local time. Players can participate by turning off their consoles or logging out for 7 days. We feel that this period gives publishers and developers minimal impact while still giving players a voice. So my question is, what do you guys think about this blackout?
I've been in a blackout myself for a couple of months.
Carlos, you go on a blackout when you go on vacation.
There you go.
I don't think this is nearly enough, man.
No,
7 days?
Okay, here's the funny thing, as I learned. You know what's happening during that time? The Call of Duty beta. Uh-oh. So while these dudes are protesting, the bigger majority of Call of Duty guys are going to be jumping into that shit, completely negating whoever logs off, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely irrelevant movement here, you know. Again, I said this last week. I was with these guys until they started becoming like rabid dogs, you know. So now I don't feel sympathy for them anymore. Although I, like you, Carlos, I have participated in this blackout for a while now, inadvertently. I don't remember last time I turned on my PlayStation, so I'm with you there, fellas, but I still think your movement's gonna fail, you know.
Well, they need to hit them where it hurts. They need to be like, yo, we're canceling PSN Plus.
That's like the only thing that's gonna work,
and not for a fucking week, permanently. Be about forever. That life, you know. Oh, and I tweeted this out. I didn't get a lot of traction, which a little disappointing. I wanted more heat. I wanted to get people pissed off, but it's a good question. I want to see how much about this life these guys are, right? If you are about that life, you better not go see that Spider-Man movie, you know? You really want to be about that life? You want to hurt Sony? Don't go see the fucking Spider-Man movie. They're not going to do that. They're at that fucking movie theater right now, in their chairs, watching the trailers on Twitter. Fuck Sony. No diss, no buy.
While watching Spider-Man.
While watching Spider-Man. You know? These guys are full of shit, bro. These guys are so full of shit. Be about that life. So I'm with you, Carlos. Fuck a week. Cancel your shit. You know? Don't go see Spider-Man. Be about that life.
If you cancel, if let's say a million people cancel their PSN Plus subscription in a span of a few days, Sony will freaking bend backwards to try to get these people.
You know, they're not going to do it.
So, yeah, they're not going to do it because
they completely fill them off.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, because at the end of the day, they still love playing their PlayStations. They love playing their FIFA, Madden, Forzas, you know, all the games. Halo, you know, they love playing their Halo on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
But and you know what's coming in a couple months.
You know
the champ is here. GTA is coming in a few months. So these people are not going to be canceling their PlayStation subscriptions or being a blackout for longer than that. Be like, oh, like we'll be boycotting for 10, 20 days until Call of Duty comes out, or 20 days until
be about that life, motherfucker. Yeah.
I'd like to point out, like, you don't tell the company you're trying to boycott when you're going to stop.
Yeah.
Because then they know, like, oh, 7 days? All right, have fun, guys. Go touch grass and come back and play some Call of Duty.
We'll make sure to have a scheduled outage during this time.
Right? Yeah. We'll do some, we're going to do scheduled maintenance while you guys are angry.
Dudes want to be about that life boycott during GTA 6 opening week, bro. Mm. You know? Mm. You're not going to do it, though. Yeah. You know? Again, there's that one guy on Twitter I follow. Every single post, bro. Fuck Sony. No disc, no buy. His name's GTA, man. You know GTA's no disc, right, bro?
but it's no disc, but yes buy.
Yes buy.
No, yeah. Yeah. No disc, but yes buy. Exactly. Hilarious, man. Now, these dudes are something. Again, I know they're in that theater right now. No disc, no buy. Oh, I can't wait to see Spider-Man. Hmm. You're already giving Sony money, right, motherfucker? It's funny, yeah, man.
I will say this. It's like, you know, the movement, you know, whatever. And to be fair to them, I haven't seen any of this because I'm not tapped in. So I don't know what's going on. But what it sounds like, it's like it's just turning into the usual Twitter bullshit that happens. So it doesn't seem like it's that serious of a movement. It's more like people just want to be part of a group to do,
yeah.
You know, and you know, express you know, and then release their emotions this thing. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, but like I said, it's like these guys are just going, they're attack Carlos, I don't know if you've seen it, they're attacking indie developers who aren't putting their games on disc, bro. That's how far it's gotten. They can't afford it. What the fuck do you expect them to do? No disc, no buy, you know.
People are stupid.
Yes. No, yeah, no disc, no buy. No disc, no buy. All right, bro. Get the fuck out of here. So yeah, good luck, fellas. Good luck. That's all I'm gonna say about that. Actually, Rich, I want to get your thoughts, man. What do you think about this blackout, bro? Oh, where's Richard Bailey Jr., son? He's on a blackout right now.
Get that trash out of here.
he was. Oh, there he is. I was about to say he ducked out to go see Spider-Man again.
Yeah, Tony, that's racist.
You said the blackout.
Yeah, the blackout, the PlayStation blackout.
It's way too soon for April Fool's jokes, Tony. As soon as I heard this movement, I laughed when they said the first, we're going to pick 1 week in August. So a week in which Marvel Tokon is already out. And then 2 weeks after that, Wolverine is out. So yeah, I thought it was very silly when I heard this, because like you said, 7 days is going to do absolutely nothing. How about 7 months? How about, you know, let's decide not to, let's ignore Grand Theft Auto because we know that's coming out. Let's ignore Wolverine. Let's ignore God of War Lefay, which is the game that Tony and Chris are looking forward to. Let's ignore all these games and let's just do this for 7 months. They don't have the balls to do that, though. So it is what it is.
The
7 days is going to do absolutely nothing.
Like, yo, you're going to be at that life 7 days.
7 days.
Try 7 years. How about that, bro? I'm skipping this whole generation.
And by the way, the same time this blackout is happening, Gamescom is also going to be happening.
Yeah, that's
right. So they're going to have a whole bunch of things. They're going to be showing a whole bunch of games. They're going to talk about, we have these games on sale now. That's why I said, yeah, this will not work. This strategy will definitely not work.
Yeah.
You know what they could do, even if it's not the PlayStation subscriptions, be like, we're going to do a blackout September 15th. And that's when Wolverine comes out.
Oh, shit. Yeah, right.
That's not happening.
Be about that life. Yeah,
that's definitely not happening.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen at all. But again, these guys are so full of shit, man. They're so full of shit.
It also depends. I don't know how many of these people there are. Is it 1,000 people with bots? Is it 1 million people?
Well, here's the interesting thing, right? This guy I follow, Hunter, on Twitter, he was looking into it. It seems that most of the time, it's the same five guys just making dozens and dozens of posts to make it look big, you know? There's probably more than that. But my thing is, even if there's 100,000 of them, that's fun. That's not even a drop, bro. You know,
I gotta ask this whole thing, like, how much blackout should work. None. No amount of blackout will work. Like, you're talking about people who want to basically get you to sign a contract they unilaterally have the right to change after signing it. You don't. Like, even today, like, I got an update on Samsung. My choices are, you know, say yes to the update or throw away my two TVs. That's not a fucking option.
Mm-hmm.
And getting somebody to make a promise that they are in no way held to keeping just a handful of years down the line, like, that's not safe. You're asking, what do I have to do to get the word of a liar? Why do you want the word of a liar? Like, that's my question. Like, even at this point, if you convince Sony by bullying them to not fuck you quite so hard, you know that the second your guard is down, they're just going to do the same thing. So, like, why is that a victory?
Great point, man. That's a great point. You're going to get hosed in the end regardless, man. I don't know.
Yeah, again, go to somebody that does it. Go to a competitor that you don't have to hold their feet to the fire.
They're not going to do that, though.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like, this whole thing is empty and performative because they're not trying to win or to change or to do it. Like, they're trying to get their way and they're being petulant about it, but it's honestly not for the good of gamers or trying to hold your ground on principles. It is just whining and feet stamping. Yeah. I realize I'm not helping anybody by calling that shit out, but god damn, it's starting to piss me off.
No, you're 100% right, though. This is all performative, you know? They know it's bullshit, but the instant they put a fucking end date on it, they're not serious about this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, fuck these guys, bro. I'm at that point now.
I'm trying not to be, but I'm kind of right there with you in the sense of, like, look, if y'all were actually trying, and I realize that the group is not a monolith, but, like, if y'all were actually trying and doing some of the shit, like, I've seen this shit happen before, and I've seen people splinter off and do PC stuff or do Steam stuff, or that's how GOG got started, right? Like, there's been a handful of times where people have actually enacted real change. This is not one of those fucking times. You guys are sitting there like fucking Twitter warriors, just popping off until, what, Senpai Sony notices you? What the fuck is the plan here?
So true, man. Clowns. Bunch of clowns. Again, Brett, like you, I was with him. I was with him, but the bunch of idiots, bro. All right, again, good luck, fellas. Good luck. All right, so this next story, this one's interesting because a lot of people spun it in a different way. Capcom report that 93.3% of their game sales are digital. So here's the breakdown. PC digital units moved up 60.4% of sales. Console digital units made up 32.9% of sales. Physical units made up 6.7% of sales. And note that Capcom counts those Switch key cards as digital, right? So this went out, and all the big sites and all the people who are for digital were like, this is all the proof you get. You don't, nobody's buying physical, right? But if you read into it, it's actually right there. The majority of those sales come from PC, correct?
Yeah,
right, yeah. Brett? I'm like, well, yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you cannot buy physical physical PC.
Yeah, a huge swath of physical PC sales that we're missing. Let me just run down to my Best Buy and buy a box set of Diablo.
Yeah. So the numbers we're really talking about here are, you know, at least for console, the 32%. So I want to know, what is the percent of that 32% that is digital? You know?
You know what I want to see, too? I want to see the fucking numbers from the people who have disk drives.
Yeah.
I don't want to see, oh, the people who can't buy physical games are buying more digital games.
Well, if you're asking about the amount of players that have PlayStations with disk drives, I believe they said it was 73%. But remember, Sony purposely sold less of the digital one because the one with the physical drive made more money. I have a physical drive, and I've never used that a video game, you know?
Hold on a second. So 73% of PlayStation owners decided to spend more money to have a physical drive included?
Yeah, because they couldn't get the digital one because Sony made it scarce. Understand? Well,
I'm getting mixed messages here because, like, it sounds like Sony's saying nobody wants physical, but most of the consoles that we sold are physical. Also, we can't keep the disc drives as an addition in stock and have to limit them to one per customer. That math ain't mathin'. I mean, I realize it does actually math, and that's the frustrating thing about that. But
yeah,
I keep finding shit like that where it's like, oh yeah, most of the people who buy games buy digital. Okay, well, do most of the people who buy digital have the option to do both? Like, I'm pretty sure I could sit down and we could hammer out some sort of basic equation. Yeah. But like, you can't look at it in a one to one. You can't look at an ecosystem that is artificially throttled and then treat it like it were a completely open ecosystem showing user preferences. It doesn't work that way. So at the very least, you should adjust the numbers for the bias that some people simply can't buy physical even if they wanted to. And that's that lack of good faith argument and numbers is the thing that makes me wildly suspicious of every time somebody tries to tell me, oh, the market wants digital only. If the market wanted digital only, then you wouldn't be having to make a push for it, would you? You could have just quietly started producing less and less discs as people wanted less and less, and then you didn't have to make a big fucking announcement. You wouldn't have had to put forth the effort if this were a naturally occurring thing. So I don't trust this bullshit math that doesn't tell me the whole story.
Yeah.
One iota.
And that's why I wanted to bring this up, because this, you're not getting the full story from here, right? The two biggest games that Capcom sold this year were Resident Evil Requiem and Pragmata. And again, the story on the surface level says most people bought this game digitally. One of the reasons that no one's telling you is that the physical versions of those games were actually very rare. They didn't manufacture a lot. So if you wanted to buy the game, Brett, where'd you buy it? You bought it digital, you know? But no one's reporting on that, which is interesting.
It's not just interesting. It's starting to make me honestly pretty fucking upset. So like when, you know, I say it before, I say it again. Data doesn't lie, but liars use data. Mm-hmm. And I have seen and this dates all the way back to some Gamergate bullshit, but I have seen the big gaming media constantly making these types of errors. And it leads me to one of only two possible end conclusions. One, there is malicious intent, or two, there is wild, rampant, unchecked incompetence. And I don't know that either is really fucking good. I find myself at a point in my life where I've stopped really caring to discern the difference between malice and incompetence. But I think that everybody who is a consumer and not, you know, in the weeds as much as we are, needs to really ask themselves that if you let's not split hairs here. I'm not going to try and say that they're lying, but I will say that they're definitely being disingenuous. And when you have companies tasked with reporting the news who are constantly disingenuous in favor of a big corporation, at what point do you not even have to worry about the conspiracy theories, but say that these people are not aligned with my best interests at the very least? And that's the most surface level I can put it. Personally, I'm deep in the weeds, and I think it's fucked up how in the pocket most of these fucking bootlickers are, that they're just willing to spread corporate misinformation if it gets them a little bit of preferential treatment. That's the complete loss and abandonment of morality and ethics. But I'm not going to push that black and white distinction on anybody. So I'll just say, like, how long are you going to follow companies or organizations that are blatantly disingenuous to you for the interest of other people?
Yeah. No, again, this is the type of shit on Throwdown we've been pointing out since the beginning, bro. You know, and remember, I'm giving you this report as a person who does not buy physical games. But when I smell bullshit, I call it out. So these numbers are disingenuous. You know, yes, of course, Capcom sold more digital games when you have low print runs of fucking disc games, bro. You know, like, of course, yep. Capcom sells more digital when most of its sales are on fucking PC, a platform that doesn't have physical fucking games.
Yeah, and I realize that we are having the conversation, and the reason we don't have more of the conversation is because we've already fucking lived through this. But it baffles me that more people aren't having the conversation of these people are less free press and more paid shills. And like, I realize that has just absolutely lost its bite. But at a certain point, like, how openly, like, again, corrupt sounds melodramatic, but like, what else would you fucking call it?
Yeah. And again, it advances some other narrative too. you know? By the way, Sketch, I got to call that out, bro, because now you're talking to me and Rich directly. And I don't like what you're saying. I don't think you're directing at us. He goes, we should have stopped trusting companies ever since they started giving out free copies to reviewers. And then he says, because they're going to give games good scores. I've gotten plenty of review copies that I've given shit reviews to, because I don't, I'm beholden to the reader, not the fucking company that sends me the game or that flies me somewhere. Again, my biggest one was I got flown to a Konami event for Contra. Yeah, they wine and dine me. I still get the game a bad fucking score because the game sucked, you know? Me and Rich will always give you real shit, bro. You know, I can't speak for some other journalists, but me, I keep that shit mad real, bro. You know,
I can verify. I know professional Tony and I know personal Tony, and they say the same fucking thing in open doors or behind closed doors and on the fucking podcast and in print. Dude's consistent. I would tell you this. Don't just write off a system because of bad actors. Even if the system is built to benefit people who are bad actors, never look at anything as a monolith. You're always going to find certain people in the industry or in whatever space who are going to tell it to you straight. And that goes, you know, for here, this goes like there's several people. Let me take it out of this space to seem less self-interested. Like, let's look at the movie space, right? You can watch a lot of the mainstream things, but there's also a fucking Critical Drinker. And do I think that just because he started getting into making films that he's now compromised? No, I personally don't, but that's just me. Always take everything with a grain of salt. Always critically question everything and let people prove things to you and earn your respect instead of just giving it to them. But don't just block yourself off from listening to anybody. That's too cynical, and you're cutting your nose off to spite your face. You're the only one that pays the price on that.
Yeah, exactly. And Sketch, I disagree with you. We you know, guys like me, Rich, and Otaku Man are not the minority. Most game reviewers are honest people. The guys you're talking about are the big guys up top. Remember, the majority of game reviewers are not on IGN. They're independent guys on the ground doing this shit for the passion of it, making no fucking money. So it's not the majority. It's just the big guys are the ones that are, you know, they're not on the take. It's just they have a more vested interest to not completely rag on a game. So they're the game. What you see, you're seeing the tip of the iceberg when it comes to game reviewers. The majority of game reviewers are under the sea. You don't see us. And most of those guys are fucking honest people. And I say this from experience. And Otaku Man could back me up. And he's been in this industry way longer than I have, you know? All right. But yeah, these numbers are skewed, bro. These numbers are skewed. And I have no vested interest in it. Because if I was one of these disingenuous people, I'd be like, oh, no, wait. These numbers prove my point that no one's buying physicals. Like, hold on. People are buying fucking. Go ahead, bro.
There's also people who pay for the games or shill for the companies.
Apparently, yeah, right? Yeah, who's a bigger shill, right? If you pay for it, you're out of it. It's a silly, man.
Sketch knows the difference, but there's also the influencer side of things.
See, those guys are the guys you really got to watch out for, bro. You know?
Yeah.
Because if it ever came out that a company paid a game reviewer from a website, that reviewer will be fired instantly. With a fucking influencer, it's an influencer. That's what they do. it's a whole different thing. I'll tell you, I said this story before and I'll say it again, but I'm omitting the names, right? I had a colleague get a message from a company I wanted to send them a review unit for something. And in the review, there was guidelines, what you can say, what you can't say. And my colleague was like, I'm not gonna adhere to this shit. What the fuck is all this shit? That don't they send me? So he emailed him back like, why are you giving me all these guidelines? I've never been given these guidelines. I'm not adhering to any of this. You know what the reply he got was? Oh, that wasn't for you. You'd write whatever you want. That was the email to the fucking influencer. Ain't that something? You know? And this is why when I go to events now, and Otaku Man and Rich could vouch for this, there are less game reviewers there and more influencers, because they know we're gonna keep it fucking honest. You know, we're gonna say what we gotta say. Those influencers, on the other hand, they're gonna you know, what's the operative word now, bootlickers, they're gonna lick them boots, you know. So don't conflate fucking reviewers with influencers. That's a whole different beast, bro. You know? But I've talked about that in the past, and I probably will again, because there's a difference, you know? By the way, off topic, but still on topic, I think it's Arizona University has a course for how to be an influencer. What kind of dystopian nightmare are we living in, bro?
Wait, how they... a course on how to be popular. Like, that doesn't even make fucking sense.
It's insane. Like, what? And what if your YouTube career doesn't launch with your fucking degree? You know? It's like, ridiculous. Anyway, let's end this show on a positive note, people. It's just been fucking bad to you. I don't have this on the show notes either. I'm kind of catching you guys off guard. But we got time. Anyway, tomorrow is... And Carlos, you have to do the numbers for me again. 1989. I don't know if that's a 35th anniversary.
37 years.
37. So it's not 35 or 40, but it's an anniversary regardless. 37th anniversary of the launch of the original Game Boy, bro. You guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So I want to go around the room and, you know, tell our Game Boy stories if we have any. For obviously for you guys who are, you know what? Our audience knows what the fucking Game Boy is. I don't need to explain that shit. Our audience knows what's a Game Boy, you know? but yeah, let's go. This will be fun. Carlos, what was your first Game Boy, bro? And when did you get it?
So my first Game Boy was the original Game Boy. I got it probably in the mid 90s. I want to say mid to late 90s. I didn't get it right away. But yeah, I remember I had Tetris, and then eventually, so the stuff that I do remember clearly is when Pokemon Red and Blue came out. So I had Pokemon Red and I played the hell out of that game. And here's the thing. I don't know where the hell that thing went. I lost my Game Boy and I lost my Pokemon Red. I've been blaming my sister for the past 20 years. Like, I'm pretty sure you stole it or something, or you lent it to a friend and they got lost or something. I don't know. Cause I don't know what happened to that Game Boy. It's a mystery till this day. But yeah, great memories, when I played it, but, then we went to Game Boy Color and stuff. So, you know, stuff evolved, but yeah, Game Boy, you know, it was heavy as hell. It was big, all those, AA batteries. So yeah, it was a great, service.
Yeah, man. I'll go next. I'll tell you a story of how I got my Game Boy and how I lost my Game Boy.
Oh,
I don't know if I've told the story of how I got it, because it's not that impressive, but I've definitely told the story of how I lost the shit. So for you guys who haven't heard it, you're gonna get a kick out of it. But yeah, I must have gotten the original one, I want to say 1990, because that's when we moved to Flushing. And my mom got me that Game Boy, you know, the one that came bundled with Tetris. I played the fuck out of Tetris, man. Like, that game, I'm pretty sure rewired my brain, because I think in Tetris till this day, everything's like, oh, fit. How is it going to fit? How's it going to fit? You know, played the fuck out of that. Then, you know, some of the games I really loved were, I believe, was it called Super Mario Land? The one in the desert? It was two of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that shit was dope. Fucking Wario World, that was legit. That was a sequel to those games too, I believe. That was Super Mario Land and Wario 3 or something. And Wario, that was the first Wario game. Samus Returns, which was a direct sequel to the one on NES, that was fucking legit. There was this really weird Godzilla game. It was like a puzzle game or something, but I played it. Even though Hedera kind of freaked me out the way he looked in the game. There was Terminator 2. I played a lot of that. There's a Spider-Man game I played. Game Boy was fucking legit, man. And yeah, I got it in 1990 and I lost it around 1995. And what happened was I brought this to school one day. This was junior high school, so I was like 15. You know, and one of my boys was like, yo, can I borrow it? I'm like, yeah, but don't play that shit in class. Guess what he does, bro? Plays that shit in class. His teacher takes it, because we're in different classes and shit. Teacher takes it from him. At the end of the day, I go to the teacher. I'm like, yo, can I get my Game Boy back? You know? And he was like, no, your mom has to come get this Game Boy back, you know? So I'm like, fuck. I'm like, I'm going to get yelled at by my mom, you know, for fucking bringing the Game Boy in, you know? Mm-hmm. Junior, you'll like this story. I don't know if you ever heard this story before, because, you know, you're going to be like, yep, that's grandma. I go to mom. I'm like, yo, teacher has my Game Boy. Can you get it back from me? My mom says, no, you shouldn't have brought that shit to school. You just lost your fucking Game Boy. I'm not getting that shit. And my mom stayed true to her words, never got that fucking Game Boy back. He said, you're going to learn your fucking lesson, you know? And to be honest, my mom was right to do that. You got to discipline your fucking kids, bro. Taught me a lesson, you know? Yeah. But man, that Game Boy, son.
Tony, question.
Yeah.
Did your, in your 15-year-old brain, did it ever come, did you ever think about asking your friend to tell his mom to get it?
No, because the friend already told him that it was mine. So it had to be my mom specifically.
Oh,
yeah, man. I know. So bullshit, man. But yeah, that Game Boy was fucking fire, man. But that's pretty much where my journey of the Game Boy ended, like 1995. I know there were other iterations, you know, the Game Boy Color. But by that time, I was already done with Nintendo, period. You know, I was like, fuck that. I'm too grown and sophisticated for Nintendo, bro. You know, my 15-year-old self. So I wasn't fucking with Nintendo. Oh, man. But the Game Boy is fucking awesome. Again, man, when I think of Tetris, I don't think about the one on Nintendo. I think about the one on Game Boy, man, with the fucking monochrome and shit, you know? That's the real Tetris, you know? All right, Brett, Game Boy story. What you got? Oh, is Brett still around, people? Oh, there he is.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay, so my first Game Boy was the Game Boy. I remember one of the things I remember the most is, like, Wario. I played Zelda on there, which, you know, fucking, I have you by the short hairs on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Less so on the Game Boy, honestly. Like, Wario was really my fucking jam.
Oh, so good.
On the Game Boy. I don't know why that game was pure crack, but it was, man. Like, oh my god. The monochromatic Tetris, although I'll be honest, I Tetris on, like, everything else, and I was like, I fucking hate the monochromatic version. But yeah, I had every Game Boy up through Game Boy Color, and as I'm sitting here playing Power World, the first fucking Pokemon, I dropped out right around the DS, and actually I was really pissed too, because, like, I had just gotten, like, a really nice Game Boy Color Micro, and it was fucking sweet as fuck.
Oh shit!
And then they, like, a month later, they're like, oh, now the DS is coming out, and I'm like, oh fuck you, this is that. And that's when I was done with Nintendo's bullshit. I was like, y'all just sold me this brand new Game Boy, and now you're like, oh, there's another kind of Game Boy. Like, and I realize that's, you know, everyone's like gonna be like, yeah, man, that's how generations work. Yeah, except, like, Nintendo doesn't ever announce or give any indication that you're near the end of a generation. They just do a refresh and then go psych. So that was fun. My biggest memory, though, is the fucking the Voltron that thing eventually turned into after you put on the outside light and the screen magnifier and the battery pack and the other thing. Like, that thing ended up being like 9 pounds of, I don't even know. It looked like something from fucking that Station from Bill and Ted would put together. Like, just this monstrosity of wires and add-on things. And it was one of the best experiences ever. I'm still mad that we, the Youngbloods, do not understand the glory of putting together their own Game Boy Voltron or Tower of Power.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, because I had the magnifying thing and the light, because the thing didn't have, like, a backlight, so you couldn't play that shit in the dark, you know?
Right. That shit was like building your own lightsaber.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome. All right. Chris, what's your Game Boy experience?
You spelled Game Gear wrong.
Oh, excuse me? Fuck the Game Boy, man.
It can be both.
Yeah.
Well, I got my Game Gear Christmas of 91, and let me tell you, Tony, I got a pack of Duracells, right?
Oh shit!
The fucking Game Gear took 6 AA batteries, right? It dwarfed the Game Boy.
Yeah.
That shit burned through batteries in less than 2 hours. 6 AA batteries. Jesus Christ. So I had to go get. I had to run down to, like, fucking Grand Union or something to buy packs of Duracell and buy the big shits like 18, and the fucking shit didn't even last till the next day because I was playing it so much. I was playing, I had Columns on there, I had Shinobi, I had a Spider-Man game. That was fun. And then eventually I got the battery pack, the one that you put on your put on your belt. This fucking thing weighed like 5 pounds, so it like dragged down your pants.
That's funny.
But it was fucking fun, yeah. No, I didn't get Game Boy till way later, like in college, and I got a cheap one. And I played like, that's when I played Pokemon for the first time. I played like Pokemon, I think I had Pokemon Blue. And I had, and of course I played Tetris, but the one thing, since I had Game Gear first, what I got spoiled with was Columns.
Oh, okay.
It was Sega's version of Tetris.
That's right.
We just matched colors. But I love Columns. And so I was kind of spoiled. Like, Tetris was like a completely different animal. But it was still fun. I had, Castlevania on there, which was slow as shit. Like, honestly, that game frustrated me. I like Super Mario Land. I remember that. I think that was, Wario was the bad guy in there. That's how he got in Super Mario Land. But I remember Castlevania. I'm like, God damn it. He's just like,
I played that too.
It was worse than Let's Beat. Yeah, I played that too.
Like,
it was so slow, man. I was like, I couldn't take it. They played that game specifically. I don't know what that game pissed me off on there. The, was it Castlevania Adventure? Or what was the one with, what was it called? I know there was Castlevania Adventure on there.
Yeah.
And then there was another one.
And I don't remember the name. I only remember playing one. I think it was the first Castlevania on Game Boy. That's the only one I remember.
And I played Samus Returns, which was also hard because it was kind of funky. And Spider-Man was unplayable. I had the Spider-Man for Game Boy, but it like trying to swing and climb. I was like, oh, forget this.
Man.
But yeah, it was fun. It was a great little system. It was fun. And I'll tell you what, though, in terms of battery life, it destroyed the Game
Gear. It lasted a long time. I never remember having battery life issues with that. Like a pack would last a long time.
Yeah. No, Game Gear took six batteries, six AA batteries, and it would die in less than 2 hours. That's all you need to know, man. That color screen, it's burned through batteries. Shit. So, yeah. No, I was late to the party with everyone because I went Sega early on. And so I didn't end up playing until college. But it's a good system. I mean, later, what did I have when I started working in Nintendo? I had a DS. I didn't have a Wii when I started working there. I had a DS, though. But, I mean, the Game Boy, especially GBA, though, that I loved. I think out of every handheld, I loved it. I mean, PSP I love, but PSP, I did a lot of things with that. PSP allowed me to watch a lot of videos. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But the GBA, man, that was a whole different animal. I love playing GBA games. I have a bunch of them. They're fucking awesome.
Yeah. Rich, what about you, man? What do you have to say about the Game Boy?
Yeah, so my first Game Boy was the OG Game Boy. Just like you, Tony, I was locked in on Tetris. Played a whole bunch of the Mario games. Played some Battletoads. Pretty much all those games that came out initially in the beginning. I was definitely hooked on all of them. But if you were to ask me now, where is the Game Boy? I have no idea. Because once the batteries died and, I probably picked up something else. I started playing. I did not go back to the Game Boy. But I did enjoy a lot of the stuff from back in the day. The original, you know. No, it was very good. Very good handheld. Anytime, we would go on long trips in the car, I would be on that system all the time. So definitely have those good memories of that stuff.
Hell yeah, man. By the way, this is a side story. I know I've told this one too before. But I did tell it to someone at the office for the first time because, we brought up Pokemon here. Yo, because remember, by the time Pokemon became big in America, 1998, I was already done with Game Boy. I was not keeping up with any of that. You guys are going to laugh. I didn't know Pokemon even had video games until like 2007. I was 27 already. I just thought Pokemon was the anime and a card game, you know, because the anime was on WPIX in the afternoon after school. Because back then, you didn't have anime on TV that often. So you watched whatever you could, you know. And then whenever I would go buy comic books, the kids were there playing Pokemon. So I was like, okay, that Pokemon's an anime and a card game. I had no fucking idea there were video games, bro. Now, dude, that's weird.
When I got into it, it wasn't either of those things.
Yeah, what was it?
Just the video game.
It was just the video game, yeah. So I just find it funny because, you know, again, by the time I find out about it, it's like, we should try Pokemon. I'm like, I'm kind of old for this shit, bro, you know? I just find it funny. It's like Pokemon is so big, like it could exist in its own ecosystems and people wouldn't know the other exists. You know, I find that fascinating, you know? WPX had Kung Fu movies. Yeah, man, every Sunday. Me and my dad used to watch those fucking Bruce Lee movies and shit, you know?
Oh, man, the Shaw Brothers movies.
Yeah, man, hell yeah, that was good stuff, you know? But yeah, man, I had to bring in some good news here because it's just been gloom and doom, and it's going to be more gloom and doom. Nothing's going to get better. It's only going to get worse in gaming. Let's just be real, you know? That's why I'm even openly saying we're going to end this throwdown shit eventually, you know, because we're going to keep reporting on this bullshit, you know? But it is what it is, man. All right, let's start wrapping it up. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this weekend?
Yeah, so I Am Negan will be returning for the next episode of The Walking Dead Dead City on Sunday. So Mr. Adam Vale, Carlos Romero, and myself, stay tuned for that. If you're a Walking Dead fan, pretty good season so far. We will see where things go from here. As for the gaming side, there are quite a bit of different things that I'm working on right now. So starting next week, you'll definitely see me talking about more things that I could talk about. Like I said, I can't really say much right now. But all I can say is just stay tuned. Next week, I'll have a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, man. Echo Crimson. Yeah, man. Yeah, back in the day, you know, unless you were buying fucking bootleg videos, you know, yeah, the only place you could really watch anime was on cable. It wasn't really on, like, network TV that often. I remember it. Sci-fi had a block of anime. I believe it was, like, Saturday nights and shit. That's where I saw stuff like Kashan Robot Hunter, Pat Labor, you know, a bunch of dope shit, you know, edited, obviously. But it was good, man. Illust Radio says, I watch anime after dark. What is this, old anime right now, son? And it's funny because I remember, you know, Toonami blew the fuck up with anime in the late 90s and shit. But I didn't watch most of that. Because like, I think I watched it at night. That's when they showed the uncensored shit, you know, that's when I really watched it. But like, I know a lot of dudes got into Dragon Ball Z by that. I was already into Dragon Ball for years by the time Toonami had it, you know, I was getting them fucking bootlegs from the Koreans and shit, you know, good times, man. There's something
shout
else.
Out to Flushing.
Shout out to Flushing. You know, now it's funny because back then there was like a good chunk of Koreans. Now it's all nothing but Chinese. And it's been like that for a minute, you know. Steam Pipe Alley. Oh, shit. Bringing it back, you know. There's some other story I was going to say, but, you know, we're probably running long anyway. Yeah, let's get out of here, bro. So we will wrap it up. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. Shout out to the Discord gang. And again, shout out to you guys for always posting these stories. Every story we talk about on the show, bro, comes from Discord. You know, so makes it very easy for me to gather up what we're going to be talking about here. And of course, we are available on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Chris Seeley.
Take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
All right, guys, we'll see you on Sunday. And again, shout out to everybody in the chat. You guys have been awesome tonight. But yeah, join us on Sunday and start asking them questions in the Discord. later.
Peace.
Oh, come on.